it's a blessing to have friends, and as you go through life, that are deeply meaningful to you, especially those that have walked with the Lord and have lived a very different life. I've spent just enough time on the sea to have profound respect for the sea. It scares me, actually. I can't imagine somebody makes their living at the mercy of the sea. He did, and others do, just like him. This morning, if you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, a very familiar portion of Scripture. And as always, it's amazing about the Word of God. It can be so succinct and yet so profound. It can say in such few words, it can say so much. And the text before us this morning is certainly in that vein. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Jesus said this. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Father, we thank you for the powerful message before us this morning, so simple and yet so profound. Father, help us to see what you're trying to say to us here through these two verses, and not only see it, but act upon it, so that we'll see life and not destruction. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So two very different roads are depicted here in pretty clear and precise language. One is narrow and one is wide. Two gates. One is narrow, one is wide. And it's kind of like you've heard some people say all roads lead to the same place, or all roads lead to heaven, or whatever you want to call it. The only place in the United States I know where all roads lead to the same place is Greenville, South Carolina. You'll get lost there, but if you just keep going, you'll finally find out where you're trying to go to, because down there, there is a number of roads that lead to the same place, but that's about the only place I know of where all roads lead to the same place. And a lot of people think that way when you think about heaven. You know, all roads lead to heaven. Doesn't make any difference which road you're on, as long as you're sincere and have a good attitude about everything and try to do the best you can, you'll get there, because you're trying. Well, that's not true. All roads in this life don't lead to the same place, and certainly all roads that point to heaven don't lead to heaven. Life is made up of choices. There's some powerful verses in the Bible. I'm just going to give you a few of them here that, to me, illustrate this so vividly. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20, he said, "I call heaven and earth to record against thee this day, or to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." That would seem to be an obvious choice, wouldn't it? God says, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." But our text says so very few choose life. Very few choose to go through that gate. But many are on the other road. Doesn't seem to pan out, does it? Then in Joshua 24, it says this, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You've seen that plaque on somebody put on the front door of their house. That's a nice plaque to have up there, as long as you're doing what it says. And there's another verse, Elijah on Mount Carmel. He said unto all the people, he said, "How long halt you between two opinions? Why can't you seem to make up your mind?" Actually, they'd already made up their mind. And he tried to change that, and he did in very dramatic fashion. Jeremiah put it this way. He says, "I set before you the way of life and the way of death." two roads. Moses, in very dramatic fashion, had the nation of Israel. Half of them went over to Mount Gerizim, and half of them went over to Mount Ebal, and there was a great valley in between. And on one mountain, he pronounced all the blessings. If you'll do what I say, this is all the blessings I'll bless you with. However, if you don't do what I say, from the Mountain Ebal, here's all the curses I'll put upon you. That's pretty dramatic, isn't it? I mean, that's something you'd remember all your life, wouldn't it? If you actually did that, that actually happened to Israel as a nation. They didn't learn very good, though, did they? They forgot about what God had said. So the big things in life often boil down to two choices. I'm glad it isn't 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, aren't you? I'm glad it's just 2. God's real simple, because a lot of us are pretty simple. A lot of variation intelligence in the human race. So God made everything very simple so everyone could pick up on it. In the Bible, there are 2 gates, the narrow and the wide. There's 2 ways, the narrow and the broad. 2 destinations, life and destruction. 2 groups, few and many. 2 kinds of trees, good and bad. 2 kinds of fruit, good and bad. 2 builders, wise and foolish. 2 foundations, rock and sand. 2 religions, Christ and man's. So a life is made up of choices. And usually they're just 2 choices. Let's talk first about the narrow gate. Maybe I'll try to do this. But here's the gate. And then over here, of course, is the other way. That's simple enough for me to draw. That's pretty good. I don't try to draw anything too complicated. Otherwise, people can't tell what I'm drawing, but I think you pretty all got the idea on that. 2 roads up there, one's wide, one's narrow. The narrow gate, it's not hard to find, even though it's narrow. God put it this way in Proverbs. He says, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her voices, saying, How long, ye simple ones? We love simplicity. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." So Solomon is saying here, wisdom is like a herald that's standing in the middle of the city. He's crying, "Come unto me. Here is wisdom. It's offered to you. Repent of your ways and come to me. I will give you life." And so it says here in our text, to enter into the straight gate. By the way, that's in the imperative mood. That's a command. It's not an option. It's a command. Straight is a English word. You notice how it's spelled there, straight. It simply means something that's hard and rugged and narrow. This way, God's way to life is, I guess I should have the entrance down here, shouldn't I, since the arrow's going this way. Well, anyway, you get the idea. The narrow way is a rugged way. It's not easy. By the way, most things that are easier in life aren't really the right way. Usually, are they? The wrong way is usually the easy way. But this gate is hard to get through. And that agrees, of course, with Scripture, too. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Christianity is a narrow religion, isn't it? It says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And you know, the world likes to get a hold of that and really mock that and make a lot out of that and say Christianity is so narrow. Well, it is narrow. It is right. And it is the only way. Jesus put it this way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, cometh unto the Father except through me. You got to go through Jesus Christ to get to God the Father. He had also said this in John 10. I am the door. I'm the gate. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, the penalty of our sins. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Above this narrow gate, there's a word written, and the word is done. The word above this door, or the broad way, is do. By the way, we have a book in our library. I got that from a book in our library. A great book in our library called Done. If you haven't read that little booklet, you ought to get a hold of it and read it. We give it out to people sometimes that are confused about heaven and about how to get to heaven and so forth. It's a phenomenal little book. But basically, that's the story. It's either done or do. You either do a bunch of things to get to heaven, or you accept something that's already been done. And so, above the narrow gate is the word done. Christianity is unique among all the religions of the world, and it's unique because it's unique, it's different. I just ran into a lady the other day. This is the first time this ever happened. That's why it's fun to go soul winning, because you run into so many different people. This lady answered the door, and I asked her the usual questions. And I start off by saying, you know, do you go to church anywhere? And she said, no, I actually got to the question, well, if you died now, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? She says, I took comparative religions in college, and I'm all set. I did too, but I wasn't set. She took comparative religions in college. By the way, that is a sure seal of your death. If you take that, you're really lost. I took that at Whitworth College, the most useless class I ever took in my life. I learned a few things, but most of the people that take that class feel like, I'm fine. I know all about all the religions now. I've got all the information. I can make my choice. And by the way, it really doesn't make which one you choose, because all roads lead to the same place. And so when she said that, she was saying to me, I'm not at least been interested in that question, because I've got a degree in comparative religions. That's what she said. That means she's saved. She thinks she's all right. So, what about the law of Moses? What about the law in the Bible? Well, you know, Moses was never saved by keeping the law. None of the Israelites were saved by keeping the law. Nobody else is ever saved by keeping any laws, whether in the Bible or not, because the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. This book merely told me and taught me that I needed a Savior. And the more you study this book, the more you realize I have a problem. And it's spelled in three letters. Sin. S-I-N. That's my problem. And by the way, that's everybody's problem. No matter what their background is, no matter what, their problem is sin. Had another man came to the door the other day. This is also a first. This is happening over and over. I've been talking about how atheists, more people are proud of their atheism and their agnosticism. This guy was proud of the fact that he was a pagan. I asked him if he went to church anywhere. He says, no. He says, I'm a pagan and very proud of it. He didn't say that part, but he was very proud that he was a pagan. So people have crazy ideas about heaven, and some people have crazy ideas about the law. They think somehow that if we just keep the letter of the law, if we just do all the things that the religion teaches, or the Bible teaches even, we're going to get to heaven. But we don't get to heaven by doing things. We get to heaven by accepting things that have already been done. This is one of the Pharisees' big mistakes. They said in Mark 7:13, it says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things you do. He was saying to the Pharisees, they had all these laws. You can't wash your hands, or you have to wash your hands so many times before you eat, and you have to do this, and you have to do that. And Jesus didn't quite do it that way, and so they condemned him. He says, you make void the commandments of God, the real commandments of God, by your man-made commandments. And that is so prevalent today. Paul put it this way. He said, talking about his own nation, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. They're very zealous, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, that is through Christ, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, which is Jesus Christ crucified for sinners. That's the righteousness that God offers to everybody. Well, that sounds like pretty good news, but why is this gate so narrow and this way so narrow? Because there's some things that have to be done to get into this gate. One of the things that has to be done is you have to repent. Now, of all the things in the human experience out there, I think the hardest thing for anybody to do is to repent. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, even as a Christian, the hardest thing for me to do is repent when I've done something wrong. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. It's hard to repent. It's easy to make alibis. It's easy to blame shift. It's easy to talk about, well, if the circumstances were different, I wouldn't have done that. Or this is why I did do this. But I didn't really mean to. That's supposed to fix it? Well, it may make you feel better, but it doesn't change the fact that you need to repent. And even when you repent, it doesn't change what you did. It's still there. But at least you're saying, I was wrong. And I'm sorry and I repent. Would you please forgive me? That's the hardest thing for anybody to do, even whether you're saved or unsaved. So that's one of the reasons it's so hard to get to the narrow gate, is because most people don't want to repent. They don't want to admit that their entire life has been wrong. They built their life on a false foundation. They made their own way, and they built their salvation plan on what they think instead of what God thinks. And by the way, also, it's a hard gate to get to because all your good works baggage has to be left behind. You know, we do something good and we're just so proud of ourselves. We want to hang on to that and hold that up to God and everybody else as long as we possibly can. And when you come through this gate, you got to leave it all behind. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. You know what the song says? That's right. You got to repent, and you got to realize that all those good things you've done hasn't done one thing to undo the bad things. You can't do good things and undo bad things with good things. And yet we want to hang on to that, don't we? People want to hang on to that. And Jesus also said that the narrow gate is harder for some people to go through than others, certain classes of people. It's very hard for a rich man to go through the gate. Jesus said it was harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. And that's certainly true. Certainly true. What did Jesus tell the rich young ruler? He said, just go out and sell everything you have and come follow me. He was pretty excited until he told him that. When he told him that, it just kind of squashed everything right out. Well, I guess I'm not really interested in that. And, you know, as you become a Christian, God may not ask you to sell everything you have and follow him, but you ought to be willing to, if that's what he wants. And sometimes when you get down to the last time of life, just like, for example, Frank and Jeanette, life takes on a whole different meaning when you're looking death in the eye for 53 days in a row. Things that you have and possessions that you have become meaningless. It's relationships that count. It's eternity that counts. And even though it's been difficult for Frank, I know you one thing, tell you one thing, there's no doubt in Frank's mind whatsoever where Jeanette's going to go when she dies. In fact, we're praying for her to die. And she's praying to die because she knows what's going to happen when she dies. By the way, it bothers me so much when I go to funerals and they just automatically assume that everybody dies going to heaven. Isn't that pathetic? And everybody there thinks, oh, that's wonderful. Everybody dies and goes to heaven. According to Jesus, it's not true. Only a few people are going to heaven. Only a few people are going to heaven. Why would that be? Because it's difficult. The gate is difficult. And by the way, nobody's standing still on the road. When you get through the gate and you get onto the road, everybody's struggling to do what's right. And whether you're on this road or on this road, we haven't got to this road yet. Nobody struggles on this road, but everybody on this road struggles because we have some difficulties. It's hard to stay on that road because of the difficulties we face. We have the devil and the flesh, our corrupt nature, desires. They keep trying to pull us off of that road. Heard a man said one time, he said, "Well, the devil never bothers me anymore." He used to, but he doesn't bother me anymore. That's because he left this road and went over to this road. Christians can do that. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. There's a lot of Christians that get on this road for a while and say, "Boy, this is rugged. This is tough. This Christian life isn't easy. I thought when I got saved that everything would be great." And it's a battle. Every day it's a battle. Because now I have enemies. I'm trying to do what's right, and my flesh doesn't want to do what's right. I've been doing wrong for so long, it doesn't want to change. And the devil doesn't want me to change. He wants me to go back to the old ways. So it's difficult. It's hard. It's rugged. Jesus put it this way. Some of the seed fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root. It withered away. I have a little place in my lawn where I have a lot of rock in my land, big rocks. And I have a place on my lawn where the rock has actually come out of the grass. And it's only about this big. And we've tried to plant grass there and stuff, but it dries up and it dies because there's no depth of root. The rock's right underneath there. And that's what Jesus said. A lot of people get on this road and they try the road for a while and it's so rugged, they go back over here. It's a lot easier over there. Jesus had the same experience. He healed people. He fed people. He fed the multitudes. He healed everybody that came to him. But it got kind of rugged, and it says in John 6:66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know, when Jesus died, where were the multitudes? They weren't there, were they? Where were the disciples? They weren't even there. He died alone, damned, with our sins. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Even God the Father forsook him because he was full of sin. Not his own, but ours. When Jesus had multitudes following him, they said, "Lord," said, "we'll go with you anywhere." And Jesus said, "You better wait a minute." He said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests." But he says, "I don't have a place to lay my head. You sure you want to follow me?" Now, Jesus was so negative, wasn't he? You know, if in modern days, if they said, "Well, we want to follow you," he said, "Come on ahead. It's easy. It's good over here. Come on." Jesus said, "No, wait a minute." He said, "If you want to follow me," he says, "it's going to be rugged. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy on this road." However, there's a good note to this. There's plenty of help on this road if you really want it. There's plenty of help. All the road signs are very clear. There's no gray areas. The road map is 100% accurate. There's not a road... By the way, this morning I went to pick up Shane and Stephanie, and I was following the Google map. I ended up on the other side of the road, on the other side of the mountain where I was supposed to be. I was following the map, but the map wasn't accurate. So luckily, I remembered 4 digits of his phone number, and I went back to all my recent phone numbers, and I finally found him there, and I called him. He says, "You're on the wrong side of the mountain." So I had to go back over to the other side of the mountain. But this road map will never get you lost. It's always accurate, 100% accurate. By the way, there's a lot of personal illustrations in this book of personal lives that will help you along the road this straight way. There's people in here that have made mistakes. Guess what? You can learn from other people's mistakes. It's a lot easier to learn from their mistakes than to make a mistake yourself. So read the book, listen to the mistakes. And there's a lot of people in this book that did things right. And they turned out right. And that's a great encouragement. So this road has a lot of good road maps, road signs. I used to fly. And I used to take a flying magazine. I don't remember the name of it now. It was the most prominent one out there. It's been so many years. But my favorite place in that magazine was one of the articles. It was entitled "Never Again." Never again. And in this article, you'd go there and you would read, and you'd tell it, a pilot would tell us something he did or something had happened during his flight that he would never ever do again. And he barely got by the skin of his teeth. And so I love to read that because you learn from that. Boy, I'll never do that. And you don't forget those kind of stories because they're riveting. Boy, that's amazing. I didn't think of that. I'll never do that. So you read those things. This book has those kind of things in here. Never again. Never again. Don't do it. It's already been done. You don't need to test it out. It's already been done and there's the results. Just learn from it. By the way, there's also some good signposts along that road, some teachers and preachers. I'm talking about the church now. It's amazing how many Christians don't go to church anywhere. What's church all about? It's to help you stay on this road. It's to help you to make progress in this road, to come out at the right place. Why are you here this morning? To be entertained? I'm not very good at entertaining. I can't even tell a joke right. But I can tell you what it says in here. And you better check what I say in here with your road map. Because I'm infallible. I mean, I'm fallible. Excuse me. You didn't buy that, did you? Don said that to prove that. There's actually people who believe they are infallible in this world. And by the way, they don't agree with the book. That's why they say that. You need to go to church. Church is important. There's people here that can help you on this straight road, this narrow road. And by the way, you have a built-in SPS system, guidance system, not a GPS, an SPS. That's a spirit positioning system. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, helping you. And those are marvelous things, aren't they? One of the best things about this little phone that I have, one of the features I love about it is the map. I bet if I'd have pulled this phone out, man, they might have been wrong. I'd have been more accurate than the Google map. But I love to be able to pull this phone out and put in an address and then see exactly how to get there and watch my progress as I get closer to the destination. Isn't that great? That's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides you all the way through life. And you can tell exactly where you are in relation to the destination if you pull the book out and listen to the Holy Spirit. Wonderful, wonderful. Beware of shortcuts, though. I was in Nez Pelham one time, and I had to go over, I think it's called Distillel Pass or something like that. You've been there, and you've also done what I'm going to tell you here. He didn't learn from me, see? I was getting ready to leave Nez Pelham, go over to Olmec, and there was a fire up on top of the pass. They said, if you go that way, there's going to be you're going to have to wait a while. There's a waiting time up there. I said, well, is there any other way to get to Olmec? Said, oh, yeah. He said, there's a road that goes down here. You can go by Olmec Lake. It's a beautiful drive. And it goes to Olmec also. I said, great. I'm glad I didn't know that. And so I took off on that road, and it was 50 miles of dirt road. Bad dirt road. 50 miles. Did I ever pay? You did that once, didn't you?
I did.
You did it once too, see? Two dumb guys in the audience here today. I said to myself, I'll never, ever do that again. I kept thinking, well, it's eventually going to turn into paved road. This isn't going to be dirt all the way to Olmec. It can't be dirt all the way to Olmec. It was. It was. Don't take shortcuts. Stay by the book. Do exactly what it says and you'll come out at the right place. What's the end of this road? Eternal life. Rewards for doing what's right after you get to heaven. What a wonderful road to stay on. Yeah, it's difficult. Wow. It's the only road, the only way to go. Only way to go. Unfortunately, as I already alluded to, some Christians get off the narrow road and they go to this road for a while. And you know why you can't be, as a Christian, you know why you can't be happy in this road? There's a couple good reasons I can think of. First of all, you know you're supposed to be over here. But you're over here. And that these people here are all going the wrong direction. You know that. But it feels so good and it's so easy over there. You know, it's just so easy over there. And then you have the Holy Spirit and the Father saying, you know what? I don't like you over here. I'm not going to bless you over there. You need to get back over here where you belong. And so if the Christians that decide to go over to this wide road and this broad road don't fare too well. And I've seen a lot of Christians go over there. I don't recommend it. I've been over there. I don't recommend it. It's not the way to go. By the way, you were born on this road. Did you know that? You were born on this road. That's why it's so easy. That's what you know. You're born there. There's so many people. This is all they know is what this road, what the people are on this road. They look around and say, I'm just like everybody else. This is okay. There's so many people on the road. It's got to be right. What do you have to do to stay on this road? Nothing. Your flesh likes it. Your fallen nature likes it. The demonic world likes it. The religious world likes it. As long as you do a few pious things along the way, they like it. And by the way, the non-religious like it too. You know why? Because when you're on this road, you can just say, you know what? I got my own way to get to heaven. I got it all figured out. And this is my perception of it. I get so tired of people telling me, well, I think that this is what you ought to do to get to heaven. Who cares what you think or what I think? And by the way, what people think is always the do one. It's the do religion. You do this, you do that, you do this over here, do the best you can, and hope for the best. That's it. And some people have 50 rules. Some religions have 50 rules. Some have 25. Some have just 10, and some have 1,000. And they don't even know how many there are. But they think as long as you try to do them, you'll be okay. Well, it's unfortunately, you're not okay. The easy road is always the wrong road. And by the way, the road widens as you get onto it. As you get onto this road, well, you're already on when you're born, but as you go through down this road, you find it just gets wider and wider, and it just accommodates everything. It's just an easy road to get. No restraints. The Apostle Paul put it this way, wherein in time past, that is when you were on this road, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's what's on that road. It's according to the course of the world system, the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? That's Satan. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You can wander endlessly on that road. You have great liberty. And by the way, the signs on the road are misleading or downright lies. On this road, you got signs that say things like, boy, you're doing great. It's a good life. Many ways to heaven. How could so many be wrong? How could so many people be wrong? Hell is only for the really bad people. And you're not that bad. You're not as bad as this guy over here. So, you got a good chance. You know, it reminds me of an illustration that I think is kind of good. I'm going to call it the illustration of Spalding Wrecking Yard. Proverbs 1:24 through 32. I'm just going to read the last few verses of this. The first verse starts off by saying, behold, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set it not or set aside all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Did you ever think about the fact that everybody who's not saved is like a junk car sitting in a wrecking yard? Now, if you look at Spalding, you drive by the freeway and look at Spalding. By the way, I grew up just a few hundred feet away from Spalding when I was a boy. I've watched that thing grow. When I was a boy, it was just a small field of automobiles. Now it's acres and acres of automobiles. And you look out there and you see those cars. They're not going anywhere. Well, they are going somewhere. They're eventually going to the refinery where they melt them down, crush them and melt them down. But they're sitting there. Some have no wheels. Some have no engine. Some look really bad. Other ones don't look so bad, but they're all placed in categories. All the Chevys are over here. All the Pontiacs are over there and so forth. And so as you're sitting there in that pile and you're looking around, you say, boy, I'm not so bad. Everybody else looks about the same as I do. He hasn't got any wheels. I got a motor. I got wheels. He doesn't have wheels. I must be better off than him. And, you know, they're all sitting there looking at each other, not going anywhere, it seems like. They're all stacked there by model and make, but eventually, after all the parts are robbed off of these vehicles that are sitting there, they've gotten everything off of them they can get. What do they do with them? They put them on a truck, they haul them somewhere, they crush them. Well, they probably crush them before they take them on the truck, and they take them and refine them and melt them down. That's the end. I think that's a good illustration of what a person's life is like outside of Christ. They're just sitting in a junkyard around everybody else, looks just like they are, just waiting until all the parts are robbed off and sold off, all their parts, and then they're going to be melted down. But it gives a lot of people a lot of security just to see all the people that are sitting around them. The Bible says there's a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, the Roman Catholic Church used to pride itself in the fact that it was the largest church in the world. Did you know that they are no longer the largest church in the world? I've shared this before, so bear with me as you've heard this. Islam is now the largest religion in the world. They do this in two ways. They do it by fear and intimidation. They convert people by fear and intimidation and control. And they do it by fertility rate or birth rate. The birth rate or fertility rate of Muslims is 8.1 children per household. Every culture has to have a 2.11 ratio to survive. In other words, to produce enough workers for the culture to survive, there has to be 2.11 children per family. The United States rate is 1.6 without the Latino factor. With the Latino factor, it brings us up to 2.11. So we're barely on the survival rate for a culture because of the Mexicans and people that come into our nation or immigration. Spain's fertility rate is 1.1. Italy is 1.2. And I think Germany is 1.3, and most of Europe is about in between the range of 1.2 and 1.4, right in that area. If the Lord tarries his return, that Europe will soon be a Muslim state. In Britain, there are over 1,000 mosques in Britain right now, and most of them are churches that used to be churches. They've converted them into mosques. Omar Gaddafi said this. He said, "We don't need terrorists." Although they have plenty of them, and they still use them because that's what the Quran admonishes them to do. Now think about this. Rome has the money. Islam doesn't have the money. Rome has the money. Well, they have some money, but through the oil. But the really rich people in the world are the Roman Catholics. the Vatican. They have the money. Islam has the numbers. And during the tribulation, they're going to need the numbers and they're going to need the money. And the Antichrist is going to bring all that together. He's going to bring all that together. Guess where that road ends, though? It ends in the Great Tribulation. You think you've seen anything in this life, you read Revelation. That's not comic book stuff. That's reality. That's what the world's going to come to. It's a fearful and a thing to think about. Jesus said, except those days be shortened, all flesh should be destroyed. We now have the capability to destroy every living thing on the face of the earth. We can do it now. Couldn't always do that. We can now. Jesus said, except those days be shortened, all flesh shall be destroyed. That's where that road leads. Thank God we're going to be raptured out of here before that day hits, if you're a Christian. Now, if you're on the narrow road this morning, I just encourage you to stay on that road. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I get discouraged just like you do. There's times when I just want to give up, throw in the towel. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Stay on the right road. Stay in church. Encourage each other. Do what the Word of God says. Remember, you can never go wrong by doing right. Stay with the principles of the Word of God. They'll always work every single time. And I've watched this. You've watched this. I've seen it in my own life. Every time I violate the principles of this book, I pay a price. And not only do I pay a price, everybody around me pays a price. So stay with the book. Stay with the principles. And this morning, if you're on the Broadway, it may be easy, but it's not going to be easy when you get to the destination. You know, everybody gets converted. Everybody gets converted. It's just some people wait too long and they get converted in hell. There's no unbelievers in hell. There's plenty of people there. And there's not a one there that doesn't believe in God, doesn't know that Jesus Christ was the way. Remember that mad rich man who went to hell? He said, send a missionary up to my brothers. They'll believe if you send a missionary. He said, no. They don't believe the roadmap. Missionary didn't do any good. There it is, the roadmap. Let's believe it. Let's do it. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks this morning for the fact that you made it so simple. The Lord, it grieves our hearts that there's so few that are willing to enter that road. The narrow road that leads to life. And there's so many that have just been born on the Broadway and feel very comfortable there, very secure, and yet, Father, they just don't realize the devastation of not only what they're doing with their lives now in the junkyard of life, but also what they're going to face when they die. God, help them to get on the right road, and help us as Christians to stay on the right road. Help us and forgive us for taking rabbit trails and trying the old wide way again. Help us to stay on the straight and narrow till you come for us. In Jesus' name, amen.